Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Suffer well. That's the name of this devotional series, and my name is Paul, and we continue to read this devotional daily to just help us understand what it means to suffer well. We're going to read the devotion, and then we're going to do a little teaching on it. This is the 268th reading of the Suffer Well devotional series, and you can read these at sufferwell.org. Yeshua's brother said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judah, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." John 7, verses 3 to 4. Yeshua chose otherwise. There is a great line in the movie Gladiator in the year 2000 when General Maximus says to the wicked Roman emperor, "The time for honoring yourself will soon be at an end." It reminds us of Yeshua's instructions to sit down in the lowest place at the wedding feast in Luke 14. "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Luke 14, 11. Heed his instructions, all who are called to be shepherds and leaders. You are not supposed to take the place of honor or draw attention to yourselves as a central figure. Know when to despair from the crowds. Disappear from the crowds. Even Shaul testified, "Was I crucified for you?" And he was thankful that he had baptized only a few so that he would not develop followers or draw disciples to himself. Corinthians 1, verse 11 to 17. Yeshua actually taught many controversial things that made people angry and caused them to leave him. John 6:43-66 talks about these things. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Verse 66 of John 6. "The reason they left was because of his hard teachings." Verse 60. "The teachings were intended to stiff, consciously disrupt his chosen ones like a winnowing fork sifts wheat in the threshing floor." Matthew 3:12. "The very thing that made them flee was that they which would have saved their souls. Why do you expect to be different for you? Why have you styled your message to actually tickle ears rather than to preach or pierce their consciences? Are you afraid the crowds will walk with you no more? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not enter sound doctrine or endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables." 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 to 4. "Do not be enticed to water down the hard teaching so you can appeal to the crowd. Quite the contrary, Yeshua oftentimes sought to remove himself from the crowds and commanded by his father. Now when it was day, he departed and went into the deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of the mighty one to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" Luke 4, 42 to 44. Embrace the change and then get ready to God to guide others to do the same. Never concern yourself for the accolades and praises from men. Look to Yahweh for everything, and nothing else will matter. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Matthew 7:13-14. The broad road is the crowd. The narrow path is the one Yeshua walked. If even he guarded his life as a public figure, what about you? Heed the warning. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the reason and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Matthew 7:26-27. That is our devotional for today, and about puffing yourself up. Filling yourself with pride, self-idolatry, and yes, seeking people's approval and appraisal, and seeking their cheers. No, we need to preach the word of Yahweh, and it's not going to win a lot of people over. For the people that have the mega churches are doing a watered-down message, a half-gospel. The people that are teaching the word, remember, Yeshua had 12, even though thousands of people listened to him, thousands of people followed him, 12 got up and went with him, 12 chosen ones. We think about this. We think about the puffing up of ourselves, how everyone's desire is to be famous today, how everyone's desire is to have more people like them. For there's only one that needs to like us, and that's Yahweh. That's where it has to be. The idleness. Is what Yeshua taught against. But Satan wants us to relish the attention and everything such as. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 2. Tell us, in the last days terrible times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. Boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful and unholy. Listen, everybody. Idolatry, whether it's self-idolatry, which is everything in people's eyes these days and will be at the end times, or whether it's idolatry of something else, can only begin and happen when you take your eyes off Yeshua. I always talk about the Bible being a book of opposites. You cannot have good and bad in your life at the same time. You have one or the other, no matter how it appears. You can't have blessings and curses. You can't have good and evil. You can't have life and death, one or the other. You're either choosing to follow Yahweh through Yeshua or nothing. But when you take your eyes off Yeshua, you start idolizing other things. We must not let that happen. We must not. Here's something, a great quote from one of my favorite preachers. His name's Paul Washer. He says, if you want to follow Yeshua because he will give you a better life, that's idolatry. Follow Yeshua for the sake of Yeshua. He is worthy. Hallelujah. I love it. I love that saying. You know, whether you like it or not, Yahweh is going to break your idols. That includes the self-idleness that we have today of ourselves. It shouldn't feel good to be liked by so many people. It shouldn't feel good to be famous. No. That feeling of acceptance and feeling good should only come from one, and that is the instructions of our Creator, the Torah, the commandments. That we're doing that, we can feel good that we're following Him who gave us them, Him who died for us. Ezekiel 36:25 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and your idols. Have you let him cleanse you from your idleness, from your self-idleness, from these things? Have you let him? John 15:2 says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Me being somebody who grows trees, I can understand this very well. I can understand this very well. Sometimes he has to break us to heal us and to teach us and to show us. In our own eyes, the scriptures say our hearts are wicked. And it's through the discipline of Yahweh that we can persevere and become a better person. And our heart can become circumcised. His discipline is a great blessing for us. John 15, verse 4 and 5 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you cannot do nothing. Newsflash, everybody. The fruit is not being famous. That's self-idleness. The fruit is not being famous and having more people agree with you and listen. No. The fruit is not how many followers you have on the internet. The fruit is not in how many people look up to you. No. The fruit's eternal. It's knowing that you're keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, and you could have a peace and a calmness. You could have patience waiting on our Creator. But that's not the way it is in today's world. For even people that have a lot of money or others that do good things, what is their motive? Is it to be liked or not liked? It's those that will give $1 million to an organization anonymously. They're not looking for the fame or for the, wow, what a nice person he is. No. We don't need to make a show out of this. Matthew 6:21 to verse 23 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Ha. It says it in Scripture who we are. We need to be a different person. When you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, you're supposed to change. Your heart's supposed to change. Everything about you is supposed to change. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first, underline and highlight that word, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. It doesn't say seek it second or seek it later. Seek it first, always, every single day, his kingdom and his righteousness. That's his Torah. That's his commandments. Not your way, but his way. John, 1 John 2:16 to 17 says, for everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of Yahweh lives forever. The will of Yahweh is the Torah, the guidelines and instruction, the commandments of our Creator. It doesn't feel good to our flesh when we begin this ride. We don't want to be set apart from the world and be different than the world. We want to take the pleasures of the world, and our flesh wants the pleasures of the world. But when he circumcised our heart, that changes. Now we enjoy being separate from the world because we know how evil the world really is. We don't want to be part of that world. We don't want to be liked by the world. For when people start liking you, you need to question, is something you're doing wrong, because something you're saying is not resonating or resonating with their evil desires. When non-believers, when people that aren't living a righteous life start telling you they like your message and they like what you're doing, now it's time to slow down and question. Even the people that are believers, it's not your job to tickle their ears. It's your, you know, you have to preach the word, and the word is supposed to bring them to a place of realizing how wicked they really are, not about feeling good about what they do. Do we understand that and get that? The word is supposed to bring people to a place to realize who they truly are in their wickedness, not about making somebody feel good about what they're doing, because we're not doing good. We're not doing good. We need that circumcised heart. We need to change. And I'm not just talking about people out there in the Christian church or people out there of different religions. I'm talking about you. You that watch me every day and listen to me every day, I'm speaking about you. I'm speaking about me. We think because we've been in this faith for a year, or because we stopped celebrating Christmas, because we find out something bad about it, that we've come to a certain place. We're not even close to where he wants to bring us. That narrow path is waiting for us. That narrow path is something we are desiring to be on. That narrow path is something that only few will find. What makes you think you've found it already? You need to question yourself and do more and never give up and never seek trying to do better and going to the extreme for our Creator. never get too comfortable in what you're doing because there's so much more he asked for us to do. This is important. We understand this. Get rid of the self-pride, the self-ego. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Not your will, but his will. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you eat and drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of Yahweh, not to the glory of you or the glory of your friends. No, to the glory of Yahweh. Yahweh tells you what to do and how to live, but he tells you also must have the attitude of Yeshua when you do it. The attitude of Yeshua. This is what he wants us. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold the water. Do we get this? I have a whole teaching on this verse in itself. The living water, everything is about Yeshua and the living water. But the problem is he's created in us a place for that water to get inside us and for us to sustain it. He says, I will give you water where you will never be thirsty again. The problem is because of our wickedness, we're broken, like broken cisterns that can't hold the water. We're not just talking about any water. We're talking about the holy water that Yeshua gives us. Because we have forsaken his guidelines and instructions in his Torah, and because of our self-idleness, we have broken the cisterns. Yeshua has come to heal them. Yeshua has come to clean them. But we must come in truth and repentance to him. That's what seals up the cracks in that cistern so we can hold the true water. John 4 verses 13 and 15 says, Yeshua answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water willing to up eternal life. The woman who said to him, sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Do you have to understand this? If you're listening to this message on a Christian radio station or even on my website or somewhere else, and you do not feel good about following the commandments of our Creator, something is not adding up to Scripture. The Bible says, do not add or take away, but keep my commandments. If that message does not feel good with you, if that scripture does not feel good with you, oh, I'm the messenger. I'm not the one that created that. I'm the one that's telling you there's a great danger coming if we don't get right with his word, and we need to wake up and wake up today and stop putting it off because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8 says everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. That's the truth of the state of people today. We have the greatest gift in the world. We have his holy scriptures, we have his Holy Spirit, and we have Yeshua who died for us. But because of self-idleness, people are still never satisfied. The scriptures tell us, if you want this water, John 7 verses 38, to the one who believes in me, it is just as the scriptures has said, streams of living water flow from within him. Do you truly believe in our Creator? Then why aren't you following him? Then why aren't you doing the guidelines and instructions he says? Then why are you making loopholes and excuses to follow him? Why aren't you seeking to go to the extreme for him? Because you're scared that someone will call you a legalist or something like this? Because you're worried about how it's going to look? Because you're worried about what people are going to say? It's time not to join the world, but be set apart from the world. Set apart, that's what holy means. Philippians 4 verses 12 and 13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or plenty in water. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, and him alone, through Yeshua. But people today have become their own idols, just like it talks about when these public figures of people that want the fame and everything else. They become their self-idols and they want to idolize themselves, and they don't even recognize this. Puffing up themselves and denying Yeshua through their actions. Don't tell me you're doing good while you're living against what the Bible says to do. I know people out there that are they can't feel good about themselves unless they're taking some type of drug or some type of alcoholic beverage. I know people outside there, they can't feel good about the way they look unless they're completely creating a lie in themselves with painting and changing who they were created to be. You're not going to find that peace anywhere but in Yahweh, and only Yahweh. Psalms 115 verse 8 says, those who make them become like them, so they do all who trust in them. And Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Remember our creator. He explains about his righteous jealousy in his word. And he says in Exodus 34:14, do not worship any other god, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous, is a jealous Elohim. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, for Yahweh your Elohim is consuming fire, a jealous God. And 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. You must. It's not about how good you look or how good your day is going or anything else. No. It's about what Yahweh wants you to do and how he wants you to look and how confident you are in his words and his desires for you and not your own desires. His will, not your will. Flee from idolatry and self and ego. That's what this is all about. This whole Suffer Well devotional series. It's all about letting go of your own ego. When it says love your neighbors as you love yourselves, the principle of scripture and the principle of Yeshua is to love your neighbor more than you love yourselves. That's the real goal. That's the idea. Less of you and more of him. Less of you and more of them. That's when you're going to figure it out. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I am writing you to you not to associate with anyone who claims to be a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a verbal abuser or a drunkard or a swindler, which such men do not even eat. And we think about that. We think about that. Why was he telling us that? Because he does not want us to be that person. He does not want us to be one of those people that are committing those great things. He wants his word to pierce our conscience and come into our heart and circumcise us so we would be new again. Because I tell you right now in the flesh, without Yeshua, without his holy word, and without our commitment to him, without that choice we made to follow him, we are that person in 1 Corinthians 5:11. Whether you know it or not, you are the person. You are the person that are doing those things. Sexually immoral or greedy, idolaters, verbal abusers and drunkards or swindlers. You might not be getting yourself drunk off alcohol, but you get yourself drunk off food. You might not swindle yourself in a business deal, but you swindle yourself in your personal life with the things that you want to obtain. You think you're not a verbal abuser, but when you think about the language you speak, even though curses might not be coming out of your mouth, if you're not bringing glory to our creator, that's who you've become. You might think you're not sexually immoral because you haven't created a physical act, but Yeshua says it's what the mind is what's created the issue and the real sin. And you might think you're not greedy, but I tell you, self-idolatry is the greediest thing of them all, and many of us fall into that trap. And Yeshua wants our conscience to feel about that and run from that and flee from that and have nothing to do with such things such as that. Remember what it says in Exodus 20, verses 3 to 6. You shall have no other gods before me, and that includes yourself. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of which is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under your earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I am Yahweh your Elohim, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of all the fathers of the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And keep my commandments. Our self-idleness and idol of other things is what separates us from our Creator. What makes us think that we can get away with living in sin. What makes us think that it's okay not to follow our Creator's guidelines and instructions and we won't suffer the consequences for it. Thinking we're better than Him. thinking his word's not important, thinking we can make it through the day without reading his word, without coming to him in prayer, and we think there's not going to be consequences. Newsflash, there's going to be severe consequences. It's not what's going to happen, it's what is happening. We must make that decision and change immediately. Immediately, right now. And every day we must put ourselves at the foot of the cross and deny ourselves and be willing to die for him, to rise with him. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from Yahweh. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Do you understand the severity of Isaiah 59:2 of what I just said? Again, we're not talking about those that deny Yeshua. We're not talking about those that don't go to church. We're not talking about those that call themselves Christians but continue to follow Halloween and all these other wicked days. I'm talking about you. Yes, you. Are you ready to wake up and get right with his word and go to the extreme for his word? How many people did you tell yesterday Yeshua died for them? You have no problem telling people other things, but you have a problem for that? Psalms 107 verse 9 says he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The good things. Good things. His holy Torah. His guidelines and instructions are the good things that he wants to fill our lives with. Are you ready to be filled with that? It says in Psalms 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every single one of us, we have a chance to turn today in repentance towards him. In repentance towards him. And to be a new person in him. Newer than we were before. Job was considered one of the most righteous men, if not the most righteous man in all. And still, he had to be broken to become greater than he was and better than he was and closer to Yahweh. If Job, known as the most righteous man of all, with all the big money and all the animals and everything else he had, had to be refined, what makes you think that you don't have to be refined? Ask him, enjoy to suffer well. Ask him to refine you. Ask him to help you to suffer well. I don't give these messages to tickle your ears. I give these messages to stir up your heart. And prayerfully, you'll get it. Prayerfully, I'll get it, because I need it just as much as you. Praise the wonderful creator for this day and every day he has created. And for the wonderful gift we have in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for not giving up on us, for your wonderful grace and your patience. And may we all go enjoy today and seek him more and more and deny ourselves. No self-idleness, but Yah's word will be true. And it all comes down to Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yahweh be with you all. Until then, shalom, shalom. Come
out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministries.